I think I'd like to call you mom, 'cause you remind me of my mom. I'm gonna go put on my sailor suit and we'll go out on the town. Why don't you let me call you that? You're acting so much like my mom.
Welcome to Flame On. I am Brian the Bear. I have Eric.
Oh. Hi.
The Muscle Daddy.
Oh, hey, baby.
There you go. Of course, we have Jared here, our draw master extraordinaire. I don't know. I was good.
I prefer just draw slave or just art slave.
Can we draw it?
Can we kind of get weird with that? Can we get a little gimp hood if you draw?
No.
I did notice earlier you were listening to some very relaxing music while you were drawing, and I quite enjoyed it.
Oh, good. Thank you.
I was very much reminded of our mutual friend and or, well, not friend, but, you know, John DiLiberto.
Oh, yes. John DiLiberto.
Yes, that was fascinating. And Oral is on his way from a comic shop, working his way through the traffic in Orlando. But until he gets here and even after, we have a very special guest tonight, my friend Brant.
Hey, how you doing?
And a very recent listener to our show, and who happened just to show up, as people do on Sesame Street, and as Brant has done over the course of the... You know how long I've known you? I just figured this out the other day. It was like at least 12, 13?
It's been forever. Yeah, last century.
Yeah, at least like six administrations have come and gone. So, presidential. Wow. So, yeah, we're old. We have a very interesting show tonight. It's not jam-packed, but it's slightly overweight, let's say, full of various and sundry topics, including the very recently completed MegaCon kickoff party. And as you're listening to this, this the very recently completed MegaCon convention itself, which unfortunately, when we're recording, has not happened yet. But if we are successful this weekend, may produce results that we will knit ever so gently onto the end of this episode. So stay tuned for that. But we also have some movie news, some movie reviews, including the great and powerful Oz, which is, I'm sure, many of you are very excited about the sequel, or I'm sorry, prequel to Wizard of Oz. We have some TV stuff, of course, RuPaul's Drag Race, which is heating up and getting very exciting. Some music reviews, which doesn't happen very often, but today we have a couple we're really excited about, well, at least I am. And then we have gay news, and of course, the thing you tune in for every month or so.
The new Pope?
The new Pope! Habemus Popum, Popim, whatever the pop, I don't know, so, poppers, I can't,
Poppy.
I don't know. Poppy, yes.
It's Jonathan Pryce.
Oh, yes, he is. So, no, we got some comic stuff at the end, of course, as always. So, let us get right into this. I did not see the Great and Powerful, Great and Mighty, what is it, Great and Powerful?
Great and Powerful Oz.
Oz. I'm interested in it. Unfortunately, I'm a little bitter because it was made and Wicked was not as a movie. But I'm very interested to see how successful it was, at least in according to our one
the one person
here
that saw it. The other one that saw it is not here.
Yes, so the question is out questing in the wilds of the world right now. So he'll be back with us, I'm sure, very soon.
Questing?
Well, we call it grinding or being on Grindr questing. Because really,
grinding in the wild.
You get achievements. That's one of the things they're rolling out soon is their little achievement model. You know, and you get your little power bottom check. You know, I think the more people you meet, you get levels. It's actually a great idea. Someone really ought to do this.
This is fantastic.
But anyway, how was the movie?
I thought it was great. It was a lot of fun. It wasn't Academy Award winning, but it was visually stunning. I mean, it was so beautiful to be thrown in that fantasy world. And I love movies. Unlike some people here, I do like the 3D, but the real 3D that
you
feel
saw
a part
it 3D.
I saw, of course. I always see my like those kind of movies in 3D. I just love that feeling. And it was just beautifully done. I mean, it's kind of predictable, of course, who's going to be who, who's the Wicked, who's
not. I thought it wasn't, because isn't there like three sisters? And you kind of know who
there's Glinda. Uh-huh. And then there's two sisters.
Oh, they're not all related. Gotcha.
Right.
Oh,
okay. And I mean, and you see instantly how this is all going to tie into the Wicked of the Wizard of Oz and stuff like that. But I thought it was a lot of fun, and I did think it was beautiful. And I mean, the only change they did to the Wicked Witch of the West is now she has a power girl top. Now she's just showing big boobs.
Well, that's hot.
Big boobs. But I mean, she's wicked, and she's still, you could still see kind of beauty within her, and then her boobs, big ass boobs. I was like, okay, really?
So and what's her name? It's not Elphaba, of course.
No, it's... Oh, what the hell was her name? forgot her name.
So is she even moderately redeemable, or is she just pure evil?
She is. Well, she doesn't start off pure evil. She, it's basically, in front of the question, he looks at it, and I can see what he's talking about is that they all fell in love with this one man in different aspects.
Okay.
And they fell in love with the and she was scorned by him.
Oh.
And that's why she becomes wicked.
Sure.
Kind of thing. You know, so you can understand, and, you know, the sister played into that, the whole love triangle thing. And, of course, Glinda, everybody falls for him.
Well, and so that's kind of like Wicked in the sense that
Elphaba
is scorned by, or initially offered, what is it, like to join him in the Emerald City. And then she's like kind of scorned because of the way he treats animals and all that. So
right.
I guess that's similar. Less musical. I'm guessing there's no music.
No music.
Or no,
well, of course,
songs.
You have the Munchkin one, the song.
Yeah, they do. Do they sing? There's actually a music number?
They sing, yeah.
Is it as endearing as
sure,
we welcome you to
endearing.
The Lollipop
Who
Killed?
I was just like, really? Really? But there was a cute dwarf. I was like, oh, he's so adorable.
Really? Peter Dinklage?
I don't know who it was. He was like in behind. No. I was like, oh.
But, oh,
you know, I love my
so if you had to rate it out of, let's say, 10,
I would give it a 7.
A 7.
So it was entertaining.
It was entertaining. I got my money's worth.
Okay.
That's what I feel. I got my money's worth. I enjoyed it. It was fun.
Do you see, some people have said they could see a sequel coming out of it.
Oh, God, no.
No?
No.
Well, in fact, the director, I think, has said no. He doesn't want to do it. Of course, this is Sam Raimi, Evil Dead.
Spider-Man,
you know, all that stuff.
I mean, if they did, it would have to be the Return to Oz, because you would have to skip right
over. So it lines up basically with
it
the beginning.
Exactly the way it leaves off. Do you see the next tornado coming?
Okay. So, I mean, I guess one way they could do it is they could actually just redo The Wizard of Oz, you know?
Oh.
Well, you know, it's...
That's risky.
I don't know. Like, going back to that world in general, I guess it has taken, what, like 60 years to finally do? Although, I guess there was that whole sequel. What was the sequel to...
Return to Oz.
Return to Oz.
That was the best movie.
I liked it. I think I remember
it. They did a post on, I don't know, some site, some comic book site, but the most scarring aspects of that movie and how creepy and terrifying it is. And,
oh, God, it totally is.
Princess, and I'm looking at these pictures, I'm like, oh, my God.
You know, there was Princess Moonbee who had that entire, like, castle full of, you know, severed heads that she would put on her torso, and I remember her waking up and say, oh God, it's this headless body is running after Dorothy.
And then that pumpkin who was so creepy. And
the pumpkin.
Everybody was creepy.
Well, Oz is a little creepy. So in other movie news, I am very excited about Kick-Ass 2 coming out.
We saw the trailer.
I did.
Oh,
I actually saw
so
it
exciting.
Today. I, having read the comic and kind of thinking it's a little ridiculous now, I was very pleased to see that Jim Carrey's performance did not seem so over the top. Because again, when they announced that he was, I don't remember the name of the character, but he's like,
no, not Big Daddy,
he's
with ours.
Military looking kind of guy, facial prosthetics, like you pointed out, and just very underplayed, which is good. Jim Carrey nowadays isn't always over the top, so that's good. What's his name? Luzinski? I forgot the actor's name.
Aaron Johnson, that big hunky piece of meat.
I'd hate his hair, first of all. I would just, oh, that hair kills
me.
Have
you Googled him? Do you see the Calvin Klein model he was?
I've seen the pictures without the, yeah, definitely a lot more attractive, but as built as he is in that movie, I just don't think Kick-Ass, even in the comic, was ever that built.
Well, no, that's why they had to change it. They only, you know, like this Kick-Ass 2 took place in high school. They took the liberties and they put it into college.
Oh.
So they're older.
Oh, okay, because I was wondering how Hit Girl gets away with looking like she does now.
Right.
When obviously she's not as young as she was.
No, they're in college now.
Okay,
they're
that makes college. A little more sense.
So, yeah, so that's why they're... It's basically... But it looks like it's the same story.
Yeah.
Just college.
Okay.
You know.
And that works for some of the actors and all that. Bran, have you seen Kick-Ass?
I have not.
Do you know what Kick-Ass is?
I do.
Yeah. So... You know, as a fan of the original series, original actual book and the movie, I don't know. I'm glad it's alive. The first one was great. I'm kind of curious what the new director is going to do, because Matthew Vaughn's an awesome director, and this guy's not Matthew Vaughn who's directing. I forgot who he is, but I don't know. I have mixed feelings, because there's also the whole Hit Girl storyline they've been exploring in the comics, and are they going to factor that in? And I don't know.
Well, that's the thing that came out after that. If they were going to explore that, that would be her own movie.
Oh, because they'd already started shooting.
Because remember, they did Kick-Ass 2, and then they did her.
So they are making a like a third book or fourth book, I guess, if you will, to the Kick-Ass.
Kick-Ass 3 is coming.
And so this is potentially going to be another movie later.
It would have to be, because she was in between. It was Kick-Ass, Kick-Ass 2, but then Hit Girl actually took place between those two books.
Yeah, between the two, yeah. Showing her evolution and explaining her her new role. So I'm interested. I'm excited. So there's also this really interesting trend lately of movie trailers that actually destroy Earth.
When I went to go see Oz, no joke, there's like, say, six trailers. Five of them were all about Earth being destroyed.
Do you remember which ones? I called out two of them.
There was one with Tom Cruise,
Oblivion, which looks really cool.
There was one with Will Smith,
After Earth.
I don't know who the other actors were.
There's some zombie movies that kind of count.
Movie that's with Brad Pitt, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, is that World War Z?
Yeah, that one.
Oh, Brad Pitt's in that. Okay.
Yeah. And then there was another. I just can't. I don't remember who it was. But I'm just like, look, I'm like, why is Earth always being destroyed? Why are we being taken over again?
I'll tell you, it's because destroying Mars would be not as exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, really. Not a whole lot there. Although, supposedly now, they have officially determined that it could have once supported life. I know this is not relevant at all to what we're talking about, but I still find it fascinating that they're just now saying, officially, oh, yeah, it could have supported life.
That means it leaked out, and we've wound up finding out.
Yeah.
And that's all that means.
Well, let's move into TV. And actually, speaking of this, I do have a little bit of Doctor Who news. If you're not excited, and Oral's not here to share this with me, I'm so sad. Doctor Who's returning in like 2 weeks, which is not a whole lot of time. And one of the first villains they're going to face is a classic villain. The Ice Warriors, a.k.a. Martians. And these are villains like we have not seen in Doctor Who since the 60s, at least, maybe early 70s. And they're bringing it back. They're redoing their outfits or, you know, costumes so they look a little less cheesy, of course. And I'm very excited. Of course, if you've been following Doctor Who, the Christmas special, you know there's a new companion, but you don't know what the deal is with the new companion because they've killed her twice. It's weird. So I'm very excited. And everybody else is looking at me like I'm crazy.
Yes.
Yes. Which is usually how the Doctor Who segments go. So we will move on. Other TV news, of course. Now, I have not caught up. My boyfriend, Pat, has been watching RuPaul's Drag Race from season one on and has gotten himself, I think, fully caught up. I have not gotten caught up. Tell me right now, what is the excitement of RuPaul? Why did RuPaul or the show tweet like crazy about this last episode, because evidently some big thing happened.
Do you want me to say it?
Yeah. Okay. Well, spoilers.
Spoilers. The bottom two. Who are the bottom two?
The two bottoms?
Not the two bottoms.
I'm guessing there's more than two.
I forget his name. Alyssa Edwards?
Alyssa Edwards.
And then the dark-skinned guy. The other one. The guy who always does the makeup that makes his nose so...
Yeah, I don't know.
Can't think of his
Alaska.
Name. No, it was Alaska... Detox and the third one. There was the three of them.
Yeah. Roxy,
thank you. So those two
local,
on the bottom.
Local Roxy.
Yeah.
So
cool.
They were both on the bottom and they were both lip sync. They had to do Will Smith the song Whip My Hair Back and Forth. So that was it. And they did this performance. Then Roxy just breaks. Like starts to cry. Like,
oh my gosh.
And,
well, that song makes me cry. I mean, let's face it, it's a little kid. It's not Will Smith. It's Will Smith's kid.
The kid, whatever they call it.
Willow. Roxy gets ready and starts taking her wig off.
Yes.
Everybody's face is like, what?
Everybody.
She's got another wig underneath that wig. It was like.
It was great.
What?
Was great.
They really, another they wig it. After. What?
A wig
you
under a wig.
Can't take your wig off anymore. That's a big taboo. You know,
it's so funny. I don't get that because drag queens do it. I've seen many drag queens do that as like an effect.
It's overdone.
Yeah. Well, is it because it's overdone?
It's overdone, and it's supposed to be intense, but it's not really intense anymore.
Oh, I see.
It's
like a gimmick. So what happened then?
After he breaks down, he starts going to his whole history of his life and being abandoned as a child and his parents. He said that his mother took him and his sister, I believe, to a bus station or a train station and left them there.
Ooh.
And he was bawling, like, this whole thing of not being accepted. And
this came up because of Whip My Hair Back and Forth?
It came up because in the... In the after the show in Untucked, in the Gold Lounge, in the box, somebody else's mom comes on. Or so they talk about somebody's mom and how they had no connection. And so Roxy starts talking about their story and everything else. And so it gets brought up in the Gold Bar, but after, you know, before the actual lip sync.
Okay.
So
he goes in there. RuPaul's crying. And
wow, they got Rudaquat.
What's her name? Michelle Visage was crying.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah,
everybody
really felt what he was going through.
Uh-huh.
And so then RuPaul turned around and was just like, you both showed me what I needed to see. You're both safe.
So no one got kicked off.
No one got kicked off.
Wow.
And I'm sorry. That was bullshit. Roxy just totally threw that in there just to be safe because she knew she was going home.
I thought the same thing until I saw The Untucked.
I didn't watch. I didn't finish watching. I was so tired. So, I watched it last night.
I thought the exact same thing. But then when you watch Untucked and you see that it was not... It wasn't like she just threw it out there. Like, Willem would have definitely done something like that.
But oh, my God.
Oh, Willem.
But no, I think it was actually legitimate. She was so upset. And I mean, they both really worked it. I mean, they both sang their asses off. And what got me is when Rue looks at her and Rue goes, you know, in drag, we get to choose our family. And being gay, we get to choose our family. And you're a part of my family. And
this is your family. I love you.
Love
you. And it was a moment. And, you know, RuPaul Drag Race doesn't have many of those moments.
Yeah, really.
But it was a solid moment. But, yeah, I guess when I watch their Untucked tonight, I'll see more of it. Because, yeah, I just totally call bullshit when I
see. What is up with Orlando's drag having very tragic pasts? Because didn't who's the other one that was like second season, I think?
Alexis
Mateo. Didn't he have some tragic my baby, blah blah blah. I mean, seriously, why is it that Orlando always gets the tragic drag?
Have you been to Orlando?
Yeah, really, I was just gonna say.
I know. Okay, listen. Chantel, oh God, I can never say her damn Chantel. I can never remember her last name. I want to say Chartreuse, and it's not. Roche. Chantel Roche. She is not a tragic drag queen. She is a fabulous drag queen, and she's a good head on her shoulders. You know, I don't know. I don't know a lot of the other drag queens in Orlando. I know her. I don't know. I just, it's like, really? Second one round? Ugh. Maybe he'll win, though. I don't know. I'd be happy to have another Orlando-based with as much drag as we have in Orlando. I'd be thrilled to have another winner. But is that not? I mean, I guess he's in the bottom too.
Well, it was about. Well, I mean, now they're getting to the good ones now. Anybody?
Oh, okay. So how many are left?
Like a contender for the final thing, I think. I mean, I think Roxy's a contender. Okay.
I don't like is the other one that was in the bottom though. Edwards,
Alyssa
Edwards. I don't like.
No.
Alyssa and Coco. This whole bitchy thing going on.
I like Coco.
I like what Coco did. It was a roast to RuPaul.
Oh.
So they all had a roast RuPaul. And Coco Montrese came in as what? Like the cousin, the abandoned cousin, or the cousin she hasn't seen with the roots in her hair?
Uh-huh.
She was very funny.
Really?
Very funny. Very like RuPaul was hysterical.
Coco's a great performer.
Detox, I didn't like her her little thing.
I thought Alaska was great.
Alaska was good.
I love baked Alaska.
Coco and...
It's delicious.
Yes.
I always forget the whiny one.
Oh, Ivy boy. Winter.
Not Ivy Winter. It's the other
Watch
one.
Out. You know, it's like he knew we were talking about it.
Oh, there's the bitch.
Oral's here. We're talking about RuPaul's Drag Race.
I haven't watched. I'm behind two seasons.
Oh God. Two seasons?
I'm sorry, two episodes.
I'm glad we've already spoiled all this.
Yeah, well, that's about done anyway.
So I see we've moved up in the world.
Yes. We've upgraded, is that what you're saying? Mm-hmm. So, well, let's move on from RuPaul so we don't spoil poor little Oral. Although, speak of the devil... that might be like that. Let's talk about Walking Dead because I am still not caught up, and I honestly
still
don't care.
Don't care.
Really? You're a scared little girl.
What?
You're a scared little girl.
I'm
so scared of zombies. I'm so scared. You go screaming from the entrance of the Geek Easy to the office like what?
Very often. I've learned to, if I need something out of the office, I make sure I do it before Walking Dead comes on.
Oh no! All we hear is slam.
I can't imagine. So, really, is it just
I guess
it?
So. It's just me with The Walking Dead.
Is it good?
Well, this last episode was nothing. It was just the governor and Rick staring at each other. It's now the season finale is about to come, so it's about to be the war of the governor versus.
Okay.
Yeah. Still hate Andrea.
Yeah.
Glenn and Maggie had sex. I swear to God that somebody was going to die, but nobody did.
Have they had sex with a zombie yet?
Not yet.
Because I'm sure it's going to happen.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if the governor did.
All right, let's move on. So I have started the following. I think we talked about this last episode, but I've not gotten any further. Is it getting better?
It's so fucking good and creepy and weird. And I want to say, what episode are you up to?
I watched the pilot.
That's it?
Yes.
No, I'm like one episode behind.
Okay.
So it just so much happens, and you have to watch it to understand it. And everybody's watching it.
Kevin Bacon less of a sad sack? because the first episode he was totally emasculated.
He starts off that way, okay, and it explains why he became that, and then he has to step up.
They're building him up.
He has to step up and help the ex-girlfriend and the son and help all these people.
Okay.
Yeah, so he has to step up to the character.
The serial killer is still crazy bad and evil and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, yeah, but I just love the fake gay guy who's gay now.
Are they still running around? They're still there?
Yeah.
Because, yeah, they were. That was a cool idea.
Yeah, I liked it. They were running around, and then they all, now they're all sleeping together. And
oh, my. Like, so we have sexy time, too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man, now I got to watch it. All right, cool. I'm very excited. Now, I put this on there. I don't know if anybody else has seen The Americans.
No,
I've heard of it.
New, series with Kerry Russell, correct?
Yes. From what?
FX.
Oh, it's on FX, but she is from
Felicity.
Felicity. She is Felicity, right? So that was her character name, yeah, right? Yeah, I never watched Felicity. The only Abrams show I think I've ever not watched, except for that other one that was last like 2 seconds. But anyway, long story short, it's really good. It's set in the 80s, and it's about a Russian spy couple who get together because they're spies, and so they're placed in America as a couple, but they're not previously. And they have kids together, and they set up a life, and they're in D.C., and they're spying. And it's awesome. It's so good. Although I do feel at times like the 80s is kind of like a very diluted form of the present, really.
Is it kind of like that thing where you think it's the 80s, but it's probably the 90s? Is it giving you that Donnie Darko feel?
A little bit. A little bit. There's little affectations where you're like, oh, yes, that's right. It is the 80s, but it's not super beat you over the head as a period piece, which actually is a good thing. But I've only seen the first like hour and a half. And it's like, it's each episode, I think, is like an hour or maybe an hour and a half. I'm not sure.
Wow.
So I got to go through them, but I have them on my DVR, and I'm really excited. But we'll talk more about that as I think we watch it. One thing of TV news, have you guys seen the preview for Hannibal?
No. TV series?
Yes.
Hannibal Lecter Hannibal?
Yes. Here's the cool thing. The guy, Brian Fuller, who did Pushing Daisies and Wonderfalls and even Dead Like Me, like the first couple episodes, he's the showrunner. Or one of them. And the previews look awesome because they're like that weird Brian Fuller sort of twisted kind of weird colors. He's also the one that unfortunately did the Munsters. What
that
they call
pilot?
It? Yeah, the pilot, which was... But I mean, no, this looks good. And the guy playing Hannibal Michael Mickelson or something, looks creepy as fuck. Does not look like Hannibal or Anthony Hopkins as much, but looks creepy. And they're starting from like the very beginning. I think even before
what, do that
Red Dragon.
Already?
Well, they've done movies of all of it. This is just, you know, it'll be a slow burn TV show. And I think they said like by the third season, if it goes that long, it'll be in like Silence of the Lambs territory then.
Well, because I know they're doing that Norman Bates show too.
Well, yeah. Right. And so a lot of people are kind of comparing
that Bates Motel. Is that what it's called?
Yeah. That trailer.
That's A&E.
It looked. Yeah. I don't know. I'm like, I don't know those movies as well. Like I've seen Psycho, but I mean that's it really. So I'm just kind of like, well, I'll check it out, but. I'm more excited about Hannibal because of Brian Fuller, of course. But let's move on. Now, has anyone in here besides me listened to the new David Bowie album?
Nope.
That's what I thought.
I have to listen to Low, apparently. Someone highly recommended Low for me.
Oh, Low's fantastic. Oh, and someone did?
Not that someone.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So, well, Low. I can see that. Low is one of Bowie's like best albums. So the same producer, and I can't remember his name, came back and did this new album called The Next Day. And there is a fantastic review that I'm not even going to try to even touch that Cat Blackard from, of course, Nerdy Show wrote. And it got featured on Time.com.
Wow.
How cool is that? So if you go to the Nerdy Show website, I believe Cap shared it on there. And if not, we'll make sure it's up there by the time this comes out. It fully caps and captures both the like someone who knows Bowie and listens to it and someone who doesn't really know Bowie and kind of gives you a flavor for what this album represents. It is his first album in 10 years, and that alone is kind of exciting because, let's face it, he's getting old, okay? He's not like, you know, decrepit old, but...
He is a British grandmother.
He's a grandmother? Oh, that's right.
Like a grandmother, yes.
Because his son, Zoe Bowie, also known as Duncan Jones... director of Moon and Source Code. So, yeah, that's right. And I'm guessing he has kids, too. anyway, check it out. I won't even try to give you a review other than I'm enjoying it. And it is pretty dense. And I'll have to...
I mean,
to,
I love David Bowie. So
yeah. And if you like... It's like old school Bowie. It's not like any of the more recent incarnations. I also have to mention the new They Might Be Giants album. Because They Might Be Giants is one of the only bands I've seen like three or four times. I think it's four now. Their new album, Nanobots, is out. This is a very big album for them. It actually has been it's gotten great reviews. It's like everyone who loved like Flood and some of the earlier Giants stuff, it's like classic Giants, they love this album.
Stop looking at me because I know nothing.
I know. Eric, I'm looking at you because you're
Do you not see
that
blonde
plenty.
Look on my face?
You're very, very attractive this evening in your red sweater-ish thing that you have there, and I don't know.
It's okay, Eric. I listened to Flood, so I...
Okay.
There we go.
So
you should look at you.
I can look at Jared, too. So, no, Nanobots is great. Lots of good stuff. Check it out. I won't go too important too much for that. Now, let's talk about some gay news. And I think we should lead off with Habemus Papam, which someone told me today translates as here's the Pope.
Here's Popey.
And we are talking about this for one reason. Eric, you're Catholic, right? No?
Catholic.
Oh, you were Catholic.
We were all.
I'm still
technically in the Catholic Church. I haven't renounced yet.
There is a issue that touches on, you know, us gays.
Of course.
He has come out being very antagonistic against gay marriage, of course, but also gay adoption, which is kind of unfortunate. But I will say this. He's a Jesuit. Jesuits are the very learned. They've spent a lot of time studying.
Scholarly
popes. That's exciting for me because I like that. And he's also a man of the people. In fact, I read an article today where he eschewed all these fancy trappings and things when he just got made the Pope to go like straight to the hotel he had been staying at as part of their conclave and like greeted the whole staff, shook hands, hung out. It was just very down to earth. And I like that.
Yeah, before or after he stones us for being gay.
I don't think he'd stone us.
I want to know, do they still do those huge edicts that they're just completely made out of wax?
What?
Like you have the edicts and the papal like
papal bull,
yeah, and then like right. You have this like on parchment, and then you have this like this huge like medallion of wax.
I don't know
with the sealing wax,
but that sounds pretty awesome.
Ring into it.
And I'd love to see that. But no, was it Francis?
Yes, Pope Francis
the First, named after Francis of Assisi. Of course, in response to this on Flame On, we put up the Pee Wee Herman versus Francis video from the Pee Wee's Big Adventure, which I just still, every time I hear Francis, I think of Francis. I can't even do a Pee Wee Herman. Anyone do a Pee Wee Herman here?
No.
Nope. Oh,
sorry.
It. Jared, come on.
Oh.
All right. But anyway, so Pope's there. That's great. White smoke, all that good stuff. What about gay civil unions in Colorado? Is that more exciting than Pope's?
Yes.
Maybe we have some listeners in Colorado who are excited by this. I don't know. Mm-hmm. If there are any, we just don't know about them.
So I always thought Colorado was a very conservative state just because of all the family organizations that are based out of Colorado.
Yeah, you'd think that. They're a little more tolerant out there, kind of getting towards California. I think there's a – and Colorado seems to be a little more upper middle class in a lot of areas.
Mm.
I'm sure there's the crazy – redneck areas too, of course, but you know they do seem to be a little more progressive. So.
Okay,
I'm happy. I mean, great for them. Doesn't help us here in Florida, but no, fuck whatever. So that's all the gay news I have. It's actually not been a very exciting month for us gays, I guess.
Well, we could roll over the Superman.
Absolutely, and thank you for teasing it because based on your reaction to Orson Scott Card being put on a Superman title, Chris Sprouse, who is the artist who is going to do that, has decided he can't in good conscience draw the Superman story that Card wrote. So because of all the public outcry, they're not going to do it, or it's indefinitely postponed.
It's fine. I saw Phil Jimenez was the one who posted it, and that's where I read it of him. Like, he was just like,
have you been stalking Phil Jimenez?
I always stalk Phil Jimenez.
Listen, that is one of the long term goals for this show. I want to get Phil Jimenez on here. Okay.
Yes.
Everyone has different agendas.
I just want to get him on the show. If you can sleep with him while we're on the show, that'd be even better.
That would be fantastic.
We could sell tickets.
With you, Oral, because you know I'm going to get divorced. No.
Right. I know is I've heard two stories about Phil Jimenez. One, fabulous. Oh. Two, dirty as fuck. So I don't know. He's an interesting guy. But so he shared the news.
Yep. That's where I read it.
I think we're all happy.
Jared, could you do it for me, please?
I'm not going to do the impression.
No.
We'll get We'll get Justice back on to talk about his sexcapades or whatever crazy thing he...
Can we not drag Phil Jimenez through the mud, please?
Well, no, he's already there.
I was going to say, I don't think this is quite
Look, I still have you on a pedestal, Phil. I love you.
Okay, I don't know if I shared this, but you know, as soon as I shook his hand at Ben Kine, he's like, you should probably go wash that off. I was like, oh, okay.
Yay, semen. So, so are we excited? I mean, I know we had quite a heated discussion about this last time.
So now, is this book going to be done at all? Is it
the book's straight? Going forward? The book has other artists. It was just a small story in the book, so that's not affected. They're going to fill it in with somebody else, whatever. I think it's indefinitely postponed, and DC can find another artist for it, but I don't think they're going to. I think it's just going to kind of get the we'll get back to you and never.
Awesome.
Happen. So,
if that's actually what happened, that's fantastic.
Now he is still doing, I think, Ender's properties, and it wouldn't surprise me if Marvel brought him.
So he works for
Marvel. Yeah, I think Marvel will still maintain a relationship with him, but whatever. It's not as big a thing. Just be aware, and like this happened, you vote with your mouth and threatened pocketbooks, and good things happen. So, now I have to talk about this because. Since Eric and Oral are both part of the A Comic Shop family, and the relationship with the main publishers to Comixology is kind of an interesting recent development, I have to get your feelings on the Marvel number one thing.
Oh.
The Comixology giant server crash of 2013. I mean, not like you guys, I'm sure, were rooting it on or anything, but I mean, you know... It's interesting that they gave all these comics away. For those of you who don't know, Marvel number one was announced on Sunday. Well, we're recording on a Thursday. Mm-hmm. This past Sunday, it was announced at South by Southwest. And they're like, we're giving 700 titles, 700 Marvel number ones. First of all, I didn't realize there were that many. But it's interesting how you see how they count number ones. Basically, a one-shot is a number one.
Oh, yeah.
So there's tons of one-shots that they're giving away. So they're giving them all these away on Comixology, which is who powers Marvel and DC, not to mention other major indie publishers. And the servers crashed, I think, like right away.
Because they didn't expect.
Well, because everyone tried to download 700 number ones at once.
Yeah, I know I did. Back. And I actually got through. This is what kills me. It came back with like a 404, can't find it, whatever.
Right.
Excuse me. But it actually did process. I was on my app today, and I saw the number ones that I downloaded. So I'm very excited because they postponed it indefinitely, I think, because they couldn't keep the servers up.
Well, see, that's when Wanda and Jean get together,
Yeah, we can have a swinging time.
So a little chaos magic mixed with the power of the Phoenix.
Force, and hey, look what happens. We crash a server.
Well, I mean, honestly, as brick and mortar direct market people, what do you think? Do you have an opinion on that kind of initiative?
Thing? When it comes to like Aaron, I work for a person who always tries to stay one step ahead, and we have our own digital store.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, so
through Comixology.
Right, exactly, which he's a part of. So he welcomes it. He doesn't shy away from it. And you're one of our customers.
Absolutely.
And we do have a lot of the customers that as they do download, but they still buy the book.
Well, like I've said this before, Marvel's approach to this is, I think, the best. You buy the book for $3.99, and you get a digital copy for basically, effectively, 99 cents if the book should normally be $2.99. That's ideal. I'll pay $3.99. I'll have a physical copy, and then I put my code in. And I love the sticker. I love the sticker you peel off to put the code in. That is actually one of my favorite things.
Do you put it on your nipples?
No.
As opposed to DC that does...
The plastic poly bag.
And fuck the poly bag. And fuck, we'll get to Age of Ultron here in a minute. Stupid chromium covers. Seriously.
What is it, Oral?
First of all, it's a foil. And it's Marvel Now, circa 1994.
Exactly.
Well, we're getting our trading cards. Where are my holograms? If we're getting the cards, I want the hologram.
I love the holograms. What X-Men story arc did they have holograms on? Do you remember?
Yes. It was the one where Wolverine got his adamantium ripped out. Fatal Attraction.
Oh, that was awesome.
Yep, I had the Nightcrawler hologram.
Oh, I got to go back and see what I had. So we didn't talk about this, but just real quick, we did a MegaCon launch party last night as we're recording this, and I got to give away a lot of older comics to people who may or may not have ever read them or what have you. We did a raffle and gave stuff away. And I swear, like, just going back through some of my old books, I'm like, wow, this 90s stuff is so like today. It's ridiculous. And
what goes around comes around, Brian.
Yeah, I know.
Coming back around.
And I've noticed the 80s are kind of coming back. There's a lot of stylistic stuff coming from the 80s. And in comic books, we're in the 90s, so you know. But at the party, by the way, I mean, for those of you who did not make it out there, which is most of you.
I was sick.
I don't even mean in this room. I mean listener-wise. I think we had, Ryan. Shout out to Ryan. He was there. Umberto, a friend of mine and also a listener, he was there. And Pat, which you really can't count because, you know.
He was working.
But other than that, listener-wise, I think, Ron. Ron listens to it. Ron was there. Of course Ron was there. We love Ron. Ron's fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
So, of those of us on the show, though, Eric and Oral, I'm sorry. I think Oral was there in spirit. No, Eric was there. I was there.
The person that nobody ever expects to show up through the door.
In Oral's defense, you actually said you probably wouldn't make it.
No, he was sick. And
Jared.
And Jared had to be up at 5 the next morning.
Why can't you be happy that I just showed up tonight?
I expect you're showing up tonight.
Screw you, bitch.
You're on the show, honey.
Yeah,
but
certain dispensations and circumstances should be made. I've had one hell of a week.
A hell of a good week?
A day. It was a day out of the week.
Oh, wait. Girl, why are we going back to that? The day you told me about the other day?
Yeah. It was just, it's been sucky and it's been hard. And I've been having to deal with all this random crap. Because some well-meaning poor girl rear-ended me, and not in the good way that I've grown accustomed to. Because she was a girl. And it was just, And it's my mother's birthday. Happy birthday, Mom.
Happy birthday, Mom.
That's very nice. And then, of course, the question couldn't be bothered to even come tonight, much less, you know, last night. So, but we're all going to Meg. No, we're not. Wait a minute.
We're not going together.
We're not going together, and we're not going to have a booth this year. So if you're looking for us at MegaCon...
We didn't even have a booth last year. You guys abducted my table.
Of course we did.
I helped.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
I helped, too.
Yes,
I kept
did.
You company. I brought you food. Now, the Nerdy Show, I don't believe, is even going to be there in force. And but we will be there running around doing kind of guerrilla style this and that. So you might find us there. I'll have my T-shirt on at the very least.
I can't find mine.
We'll make you another one.
Okay. If not, I'm going to be mine.
Get my iron out.
We're all going to have a blast at the secret location that nobody should know about.
Absolutely. No one should know. Mm-hmm. Except everybody knows pretty much. But
it's like the question.
It's the worst. Yeah, exactly. It's the worst kept secret. All right. Back to the comic books. We've dallied enough. So I want to know what you guys are excited about in the world of indie books. I know what I'm excited about. I read Joe Casey's Sex Number One.
Sex was fun. I liked it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically.
I think it's gorgeous.
It's very, I don't remember who the art's, Kowalski or something. It's Batman if he retired. So someone can.
At an early age.
Yeah, he's not decrepit or whatever. He's like, you know, very, you know, young and playboy-ish. He retires and decides he's going to go out and have some fun.
But there was one disgusting moment.
What's that? Oh, licking the nip? Wait. Oh, no. Wait, the cunnilingus?
Full-fledged lesbian.
So, basically, he goes into, like, this hotel, strip club, I don't know what it exactly was, and watches, like, a live sex show with two women.
Why'd it have to be two girls?
I know. Well, hoping we'll hold out, maybe, if it's sex. The series is called Sex. They ought to explore different pairings, I would hope.
That would be cool.
We'll see. But thus far, it's actually just more of a Batman pastiche, so... I like it. I'm really excited about it, but I just don't know what to expect, really. It's called Sex, and it's salacious, but it's not. It does sell.
We sold out.
Yeah. Did you really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an Image book. I mean, unless, you know. And Aaron pushes stuff like that like crazy, too, which is good. I mean, you need to, but I mean, I guess, I don't know. It did say something about collector's issue on the front, which is a joke, basically. Yeah. It's like a satirical kind of commentary on
first
the
first issue collector.
Yeah. And Joe Casey loves doing that kind of thing, so that was fun. Did anybody else read Manhattan Projects number 10, the new one?
Yeah.
With art by Ryan Brown.
It was very nice.
Do you know Ryan is the one that was going to be on our show? Actually, Ryan and Nick were threatening to come on the show. We met them at Heroes Con, Q and I, uh-huh. went up there. Ryan is amazing. He just had his Kickstarter, like, double funded or whatever crazy thing for God Hates Astronauts, which is a great web series he's been doing. And, like, his art just went up on Cavalcade. One of the art distributors that sells original comics art, Cadence. And his art just went up, some of the pages from that issue. My God, they're going for like $200-$300.
Wow.
I'm like, good for you. I thought about buying one, but I didn't. I'm going to buy a Ramon Perez mm-hmm. piece, but that's another story. But no, seriously, Ryan's fantastic. He did, on IDW, he did Smoke and Mirrors. He was the artist on that book. He's done Burning Crusade, or not Burning Crusade, Blast Furnace. Oh, I was going to say Burning Crusade. That's World like a Warcraft thing. Yeah. Blast Furnace. So this Manhattan Project, though. So the story is basically the whole Oppenheimer, Civil War. Like, he has this. This is so fucked up. Do you want to try to explain
yeah.
it?
Yeah. Okay. So Oppenheimer, who's the main scientist in Manhattan Projects, is certifiably insane. But it's not the Oppenheimer that everyone thinks it is. It's his twin brother who's a
evil.
Psychopath.
Yeah, psychopath. Yeah.
And he eats people, and his mind is so fractured that he thinks that he, like, takes in part of their spirit. And we find out that he may actually.
Yeah.
He may actually.
Because he kills the good Oppenheimer and eats his body and takes his spirit in.
But can we really think, do we really think he's a reliable, like, narrator?
No, absolutely not. Absolutely.
So, like, that's, there's this whole, like, odyssey in his brother's mind. And he realized, one, his brother killed him. And two, that it's just chaos. And so he's slowly taking over other, like, fractured parts of his brother's personality. So I guess he can eventually take over.
So, yeah. And so what Manhattan Projects is, if you haven't read it, is a very creative take on the history of the atom bomb. But the guise is that the Manhattan Projects, plural, are just all the crazy shit that these scientists wanted to do. And they put it under the cover of making an atom bomb, but really they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You got Einstein, you got Feynman, got a couple more. Yuri Gagarin shows up, the dog from the one they shot up into space. All of this crazy stuff. Ex-presidents are there in the computer, and oh, God. So,
and Freemasons.
And Freemasons. Oh, God, I love the Freemasons. Someone on, like, Etsy or whatever is making the headwear that Wilson, I think, had. Anyway. So all this, Oppenheimer is like one of the main people in it. And yeah, this is how maybe the Oppenheimer we know, which we really don't know that well from history. I mean, he was a figure, but it wasn't like he did a ton of stuff that was public. This is how maybe the good, quote unquote, Oppenheimer takes back his personality and becomes less psychotic. I don't know. But the whole issue was just devoted to Oppenheimer and in his brain and all the crazy shenanigans. So again, very abstract. Ryan did a fantastic job representing all this stuff, and I'm just really excited for his growth as an artist. So I'm looking forward to seeing him again at Heroes this year. Las Vegas. Did anybody else read Las Vegas?
I read it.
This is another interesting title coming from gay comics creator Jim McCann, who I think I met at MegaCon a couple years ago. And Janet Lee, the fabulous, fabulous artist from Return of the Dapper Men, who I've also had a pleasure to meet a couple times. And this book was awesome.
I didn't like it.
What?
I read some of it, and then I started glazing through it. I couldn't. The art I didn't really.
You didn't like the art?
The story didn't really grasp me.
Do you like capers, though, and crime sort of, like, like heists?
See, I'm not into noir stuff, and so that's it.
And the sci-fi element didn't.
No.
It's kind of weird. It's not Las Vegas like classic old, you know, or even current Las Vegas. It's like a planet or a starship.
It's a space station.
Well, space station.
It's all right. I mean, at times I was a little bored.
A lot of talking. A lot of talking.
There's a lot of dialogue.
Which
and
that
very
can turn people
happens.
Off. Yeah.
I think I do like the art. It's different. It's kind of weird.
Yes.
Her stuff is weird. It's not retro at all. It's like this. It's hard for me to.
It's a little surreal at times, and the way
like
she
New Yorker kind of thing. That's what it kind of reminded me of.
I could go with that.
New Yorker kind of cartoon.
I don't know what her influences are, but her art for Dapperman is so cool because it's actually woodblocks, decoupage, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And she stopped doing that for this, and she's just doing straight up So you get just her pure style. And some of the character faces are creepy as hell. And I know she's a Doctor Who fan, and so some of the elements reminded me of stuff from Doctor Who, too.
Agreed.
And I don't know if McCann is, but he probably is, too. Anyway, it sold out. I mean, Image, they might be doing reprints or whatever, but if you're interested in science fiction, certainly, and if you like heists, it's a good indie book. Again, the thing about it is kind of like Prophet. There's nothing else like it out there, really. This is a good example of where comics can be more than just superheroes, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, highly recommended. And again, I've had the pleasure of talking to both of them. So, let's move on to the big two. Oh, actually, wait. Is there any Lock and Key updates?
No, Lock and Key. What about, you really like Fashion Beasts?
I love Fashion Beasts.
It's okay. I like it.
Fashion Beasts? Yeah. I missed it again. I don't put it in my poll. I think there's a new issue that came out.
They're up to 7.
I don't know what I have. I have to check. Because, yeah, I don't think that we get too many at the store.
Check and I'll order it for you.
All right, I will.
Aaron orders enough because it does sell well enough.
It does well. Capsule that turned me on to it. We've talked about it before. I really enjoy it. I mean, it's Alan Moore. Mm. The art's fantastic, too.
Yeah.
It's basically, someone said it's kind of a Beauty and the Beast.
That's what it's solicited as. I'm like, I don't get the Beauty and the Beast.
It's a modern retelling of Beauty and the Beast. I think that the beauty is still, like, to be determined.
Okay.
Because I don't think it's, like, the other character.
Well, I feel it's like Beauty and the Beast designer. With a hint of Victor Victoria.
Yeah. No, that's exactly what it
Absolutely.
Is.
Absolutely. No, really. There's a lot of gender confusion because the main character you think at first is, like, a drag queen. It turns out she's a woman. And then even the assistant, the guy who does all the designs, he's very gender ambiguous, too. Mm. And then, of course, the two... I put this picture up on Flame on a while ago. The two hideous old, like, madams of the studio who kind of have a resemblance in some way to our favorite A Comic Shop people. Is that the Damien? Is that what you're doing there? The TT sound? No? Okay, I'm getting the death look. So, anyway, we put up a panel on that, like 2 months ago? It's fabulous. So, but it's good Alan Moore because it's accessible. It's not too dense.
Right. It's not fish penis.
No fish penis.
It's an actual nice story that's not too crazy.
No one's gotten raped.
Yet.
Don't
is this a mini or is this an ongoing?
I think it's a mini because it's a screenplay he wrote and they've adapted it into a comic.
Because it doesn't say like 7 of 12.
No, it doesn't give you an end, but I'm sure it's a bound, like maybe 12. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah.
I forgot to put it on the list, but I'm going to add it anyway. League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Nemo's coming back, right?
Female Nemo. I forgot her name.
It already came out.
It came out. No, we didn't talk about it. I bought it. It was fantastic.
Where'd you get it?
Somewhere.
I just ordered it for a customer.
You guys didn't get it?
No, we didn't even know about it until I ordered. Somebody brought it to my attention.
Because I was up in D.C. and I go to, other stores.
Okay, that's a lot.
Remember when I called you and I was like, do you have... So, And it was like a 15.
Ew! Who the hell owns True Calling?
Oh, really?
Ew!
We're not judging. So, $15, but it was like a hardcover graphic novel, but like, I don't know, 64 pages or something. So it's kind of in between, like, big issue and small trade.
Well, hasn't he been doing, like, all those, like, year 2000?
Yeah, so
and
similar
stuff like that.
To that, but a little more expensive. And basically, it's Nemo's daughter, who's the new whatever Captain Nemo, goes to Antarctica in like the 20s or so, maybe 30s, and it's a Cthulhu story.
And shows a pussy to everybody.
Great. No, actually, there's very little. Unlike a lot of the Alan Moore stuff recently, I don't think there's any sex in it,
Cthulhu.
But there's scary Cthulhu, hentai sort of mm-hmm. crazy shit. So
tentacle rape.
Yes, God, not tentacle grape. That's a whole nother thing. No, it's good. It's good.
Sponsored by a comic shop.
Brought to you by a Geekeasy. But no,
which is now selling booze.
I'm excited. I didn't even know that. Oh, you said it just happened.
Literally just when we finally.
I am so excited because like
we picked up a lot today.
It was yesterday.
We just got it yesterday. And it's stocked with the fridge is stocked.
I'm shocked.
So it's all bottles.
It's all bottles for now.
If you are in Orlando and you like comics and or beer and or grilled cheese sandwiches, and they're delicious, by the
and
way.
And being grilled by gay men.
What?
And cheeseburgers. Who and grills hot dogs them? And who?
No, who? Well, not me or Oral.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no.
Aaron.
Wait.
Aaron, the one who's gropes and shows his boobs. And
that's true. He's kind of. Anyway. But no, the Geeky's awesome. So check out Nemo if you like. It's kind of, I feel like Lovecraft and Cthulhu's played out. Like, I'm really getting tired of it. But, you know, it's well done. I don't catch nearly half, if not even 75% of the literary references they make in these things now, because they're getting pretty obscure. There's actually an annotated guide online I had to read, and I'm like, okay. Anyway, but that's out. Let's move on to the big two, because Marvel and DC have been very busy, even though we just did an episode, barely 3 weeks ago. In the last 3 weeks, we have had some big developments. Starting with Marvel, Age of Ultron. Two issues in, and by the time you hear this, there will be a third.
Yes,
yeah, because it is weekly.
Well, no, it's three
not.
A month.
It's not weekly?
It's 3 a month.
Oh, 3 a month. Okay. Well, what is that?
Well, it's
then?
Probably
what do they even call
three
that?
And then a tie-in. That's probably how it is.
Yeah. Okay. And then we know at least there's two tie-ins. There's a, and they're calling them whatever, AU.
Fantastic Four, AU, Superior Spider-Man, Wolverine, the X-Men.
Wait, they're doing
Avengers
a Wolverine
Assemble,
and the X-Men
Assemble.
One?
Avengers Assemble.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, because there was a picture I saw.
Or was it Avengers Arena?
No, Assemble. Okay. Well, I know that's one. It could be next one. It could be another one. But they showed our Wolverine being clawed by a look like the original Wolverine from Hulk Wayne 81. So I don't know what this story is going to be about at all.
Well, you know they're going to have a time travel element at some point.
Well, yeah,
they're going to have a reset.
The storm
button.
That looks like a part of it looks like Ultimate Storm.
What?
There's a picture of Storm that when she had the cut off the long hair and the cut off shirt and the piping thing.
And
that's the Storm that's in the picture. And I'm like, is that Ultimate Storm?
What?
So I don't know what he's doing, Ultron. He could just be screwing up this whole timeline.
Well, but you know, at some point, they're going to have the reset button. Because what they're doing, for those of you who have not tried it yet, they are basically jumping right to the, not end of the story, but right in the middle.
Yeah.
So, Ultron comes back from wherever the hell he's been, out in space, doing his thing, and takes over and destroys, like, everybody, and the heroes are on the run, hiding out in the sewers like Morlocks.
See, I think it was Ultron from the when it was the heroic age, when Marvel pushed that heroic age,
yeah.
And they went to the future, the Avengers went into the future, and it was the Age of Ultron. I think it was that Ultron that came back.
Probably.
To screw around with everything, to realize there's more.
Huh.
And other time. And that's my guess. I could be fucking wrong.
Well, and it'll be interesting, because this is basically Bendis' last big thing with the Avengers. And it is very much an event that doesn't really affect any other book except these tie-ins, like four series,
but
like one-off
AUs. It's not. It's like,
yeah.
It's funny. There's Superior Spider-Man. I think it's six, and then there's six AU.
And I've read six, and I've read six AU.
Oh, is it up?
Uh huh.
Awesome.
So now, one of the things that was talked about on Twitter today, actually, Dan Slott had to clarify: Spider-Man in this is absolutely the
Superior.
Arc,
yeah,
the Superior.
It's but it doesn't seem like it's him in that. It was issue one or issue two?
Yeah, it's. I think it's issue one or
you know that he's like the
core, yeah. But when you read Superior Spider-Man, it all kind of makes sense.
So okay, basically, right. What I think happened is we all the people who've been following us know Bendis wrote this a while ago and had the art done a while ago. And I think he wrote it with Peter Parker in mind, and they went, oh, well, let's tweak this a little bit. We'll have a tie-in to really cement this. And, oh, look, it's Doc Ock, Peter Parker.
Well, they had to know about this Peter Parker being Doc Ock thing because in the heroic age, they had that big board, and it says the X-Men of yesterday come to today. Spider-Man is Peter Parker, or Spider-Man's not Spider-Man. You know, they had all these hints on the board.
That's
of
true.
This whole
so
thing.
He didn't know about it. But the way he's writing Spider-Man, I mentioned on Twitter, actually, as Flame On, that Superior Spider-Man is not really like the blue Superman. Remember the blue electric Superman?
Blue and red.
And how you go
why
back.
Why do
and,
I have to remember?
Well, you go back and you read Grant Morrison's Justice League, and it's distracting that it's not iconic Superman. And I feel like Superior Spider-Man is being handled in such a way that it's not going to be distracting to go back and read this later because it's so close to the traditional Spider-Man as Peter Parker that you really could just go, oh, he did seem a little bitchier. I just thought it was, you know,
but then
time
it
of the
could be again. Like I'm noticing these little time things. It could be a different Spider-Man. It could be Peter Parker from another timeline.
Yeah, I don't know. That'd be kind of crazy if Bendis went all Reign of the Spider-Man or whatever his thing with Miles Morales. I mean, if he really started pulling in other alternate dimension shit, this is getting a little crazy. I don't know, but it could happen. So that's, of course, Age of Ultron. So up to issue 2, basically everybody's on the run, and oh god, Cap's got a plan. Because he's got his little shattered shield.
I don't want to be here anymore. I just want to go back to the 1940s when everything cost a nickel. And you can beat your wives. And then, and you know, the coloreds knew where they were supposed to be.
Wow. I love that. You've been thinking about this a little bit, haven't you?
I just, I saw that panel. I'm just like, you schmuck.
You expect Cap to be Cap.
I know. Cap should be Cap. A little bitch. Yeah, a little bitch. So, what do you guys think about the all-new X-Men right now?
Brilliant.
That last episode.
How was that ending?
Gee, I got this. Ooh. Don't worry. I took care of it. I was like, oh, you psycho bitch. You psycho bitch.
With the hair?
With the bouffant.
With the way Marquez drew it? Oh, my God. It was beautiful.
You know, the funny thing is, that issue... The first, like, 6 pages of it, the angel, tat-tat-tat.
I liked it.
I was bored out of my mind.
Well, it was cute of them, like, bouncing off each other and Angel going, I'm psycho in the future.
but as soon as the Avengers show up, that book takes off.
Kitty and Bobby, oh, my God. So basically, you haven't read this. Again, I hope you're not bothered by spoilers because we've been spoiling the hell out of this. The Avengers show up to the mansion, or not the mansion, the school. And Bobby,
Eric School of Fire Learning.
Thank you. Bobby and Kitty are sitting there, and Hank has walked up to Captain America to talk about what's going on and how dare you bring them to from the past to the future, blah, blah, blah. Because they're just finding out. The Avengers are just finding out that the original X-Men are there. So the way they tell the story is they have Bobby and Kitty doing the dialogue back and forth. And it's brilliant. But so funny. But yet, it's what they're saying, basically. It's spot on.
You know, what people, obviously, because sometimes you forget, like, Bendis wrote Avengers for years. He knows what they would say better than anybody else would.
And he's a huge X-Men. Like, I didn't realize this until I started listening to him doing interviews. He is a huge X-Men fan. Knows, went back, I mean, has a grasp on all of it. So, I mean, writing the X-Men is not it's a labor of love for him. So anyway, it was fantastic.
It was funny, and I love when even when Scott went up to him and did the apology, and Wolverine, mm-hmm. who hates him,
yeah.
turned around and was like, good job.
No, yeah, young Scott comes up and is like, look, dude, I'm sorry, blah, 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 you know, whatever, and apologizes kind of for his future self. Now, let's jump to Uncanny X-Men number 3, which featured the hottest rendition of Magneto I've ever seen.
Oh, Big Daddy.
With
your daddy sexy, Mama.
Seriously,
sexy.
With armless whatever outfit he has in sort of a white. I mean, I've never been that excited about Magneto before.
It depends. Some people draw him, he looks like a little old man. Some people draw him like, look at me.
Well, and what's shocking, too, in the story sense, basically, you have kind of a sort of a reverse of what's happening with All New X-Men. You actually have Scott current day and Emma and his little band confronting the Avengers, and like
Emma was brilliant when she read friggin' all of the Avengers of it's your fault this happened.
You split the Phoenix Force, Tony Scott.
You made it uncontrollable, Tony Stark. You made it uncontrollable for us. You made it a hostile environment. And even Hawkeye was like, well, yeah, you kind of did.
Yeah.
You know, the Avengers are like, oh, yeah.
And then they're about to shut down and take Scott into custody. And what's her chick? Just time bubble. Boop. You're done.
She's like, I don't know what I did.
Oh, my God.
I kind of like her. I like Bubble Boy who makes those big pimples.
So basically Speedball or whatever.
Speedball.
He's totally Speedball. So I don't know why they just didn't do that, but I guess he's not a mutant. Magneto as the traitor basically coughed up to everything he had been doing and was like, yeah, here's why I did it.
Is he?
Well,
I don't know.
I think he's playing both sides. He's playing both sides.
I think he just wants he wants to be the leader again of everything.
Yeah,
he's done with Scott, and he wants to take back over.
Yeah, so he's playing both sides against the middle. I mean, well, I don't know. I'd say it's obvious.
He's going to play them against each other.
Yeah.
And at the winner, he'll come out as the winner.
But it's so funny how up front he was. He's like, yeah, I did this. Oh, and an idiot wouldn't, or what is it, like a child couldn't figure out you were the traitor, which a lot of people, when that was revealed, they're like, oh, of course it's Magneto, you know?
Right.
That was kind of meta, which I found out some people don't always understand what we mean by meta. Sort of commentary on
who
people
are those
reading
people?
It. I don't know. Crazy people. But so...
white people.
Did you guys read Wolverine and the X-Men?
Yes, I did.
See, I'm not a big Wolverine origins person. I don't really know.
I didn't read this one. I scanned it.
But, well, it had Ramon Perez's art. So I hope you at least enjoyed that.
Someone get the baby wipes so Brian can clean himself up.
And listen, the KY. Don't forget to start
listen.
And rub it out.
Listen. Listen.
We should have, like, porn music in the back every time it says Ramon Perez.
He's a good artist. In a year or two, you guys, he is going to be the bee's knees.
Be the bee's knees, but still, you'd still want to masturbate every time you mention his name. You say it with so disgusting lust.
It's okay. We all have our fantasies about different
Jimenez.
Artists.
Phil Jimenez, what?
Shut up.
Exactly. Even Pat called me out on it the other night because I don't even remember how it came up. Oh, I was talking about Wolverine and the X-Men.
Why, you were masturbating
about...
and said Ramon Perez?
Oh, Ramon. Oh, sorry. No. But no, he even made a joke about how I blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no comment.
The porn's over there.
I know. So I actually got – Ramon got to do – because he does a very like shady kind of sketchy pencil style. And that was how they did the origin era backstory of Dog, which I guess is Wolverine's older brother.
Didn't he come from a different time thing?
Yeah, and then that's the whole weird
He's
thing.
He's been bouncing through time.
Bouncing through time. They tied in the time diamonds from Jason Aaron's run. Earlier Astonishing Spider-Man and Wolverine or whatever.
Yeah, that's what Aaron said.
So that was kind of cool like to tie that back in. But
what he was jumping from.
I still don't necessarily love the way they're inking or coloring this. It's weird. Like when it's not Ramon's sketchy whatever, it just doesn't look as good.
Ramon didn't color this one.
No. He didn't. I forgot who did. But it doesn't pop as well as like Tale of Sand, which Oral, you just read Tale of Sand.
Yeah.
Is it not just ridiculously good? And
yeah, it's
beautiful,
it's brilliant.
Hell, even his Gods of Mars stuff he did that was really good.
Yeah, just never read Tale of Sand when you're a little depressed. Okay, complete side note tangent. Tale of Sand was great. I loved it. But I am very unnerved by cyclical...
Yes.
Like things.
This is the song that never
that ends. Doesn't bother me, but being trapped in this cycle forever is like my definition
Samsara,
of hell. Which is why I cannot watch Groundhog Day. Groundhog Day makes me so uncomfortable.
Doesn't he eventually get out of it?
It doesn't matter.
Huh.
I just can't.
You just feel that oppressive circular.
Uh-huh.
Huh. But anyway, it's a good issue. The next issue is interesting because it's going to be basically Dog taking the X-Kitties through the Savage Land, which would be interesting. I don't know. I'm excited. What did you guys think of the White Party? Avengers number 7?
Oh. I was wondering. I was like, why do you want White Party?
White Party,
you
know, the White Party. I mean, I will admit, I'm not a big circuit boy, so I don't quite know what the White Party is all about.
If you have to ask, you'll never know.
Exactly.
The White Parties are fabulous.
Are they? What the fuck is the deal with the White Event? What is it? Other than New Universal and New Universe and Star Brand, and what? What is it? Eric, are you telling me with your mouth full of something that is at least food in this case? Why? What was the deal with the Marvel New Universe stuff? Like I didn't read it.
It was terrible back in the day.
Yeah,
I never liked it.
Okay.
I think Warren Ellis tried to revitalize
New
it,
Universal.
But never finished it.
No, you're right.
That was the thing. It was terrible. And why they're doing it again, I have no idea.
Well, I think Hickman's trying to find a way to make it work.
Well, let me tell you.
And so far, he's keeping in continuity.
Avengers is okay. New Avengers is one for me that kicks ass.
Oh, New Avengers is fantastic.
I think it's so much
merge.
Better than Avengers.
They're going to merge.
Oh, yeah, you can see it's playing throughout all of it. Even Secret Avengers, you see that in the back. It's all going to become everybody.
I think it's great. Like, I never read any of the New Universe, though.
I never read any of it at all.
Let me get you Spitfire. Let me bring you my star brand that I had. I had them all.
Did you really?
I did. But it was John Byrne back in the day. He was a shit. Wow.
Like,
was terrible.
To me, it all makes sense. To me, it's just big idea of, you know, we have all these wonders and humanity has gotten to the point where it should evolve. Like, this world...
The superflow. Whatever the fuck.
Yeah. This world should ascend, but something so traumatic has happened in the multiverse that it's all just crashing down around each other. So instead of elevating to this, like, almost deified state, they're forced to turn on each other like rabid animals. Like, it's every multiverse for themselves. Instead of trying to save the multiverse as a whole, like, even the Avengers, the most high-minded people, or the Illuminati are just like, fuck everybody else, we're gonna fix it. And they don't care.
But what about if this is their ramifications for destroying the Phoenix? If this is what the Phoenix was keeping apart, all of this.
That'd be interesting if they tie that in.
If they say there's going to be ramification, what if this is one of them?
Could
now
be.
All these universes are starting to collide onto each other.
Yeah. So what the Star Brand, evidently, which I remember the Star Brand a little bit, and Universal or whatever. I think they even brought the Star Brand in. Like Quasar got the Star Brand at one point way back in the day. I don't remember. But the new Star Brand may or may not be a good guy. That was cool. You see all these little sequences of the different, you know, character interactions at this one school, and you don't notice the guy in the back who's being like kind of jilted, and he's the one that gets the star.
And every single, and then they do that flashback.
That was cool. Inspired. I mean, literally, you know, as much as I love me some Ramon Perez, John Hickman, from a writer perspective, is the guy who I would just, you know, take one for the team.
You know,
whatever.
And the thing
oh,
is,
that's
I,
for the team or for yourself, you selfish bitch.
I am
the team of me. Yeah,
like I think that was the best issue of Avengers that has come out so far.
Yeah.
And like I saw the trope coming.
Yeah.
And so I tried to study like each
really?
Panel as much. Yeah, as much
okay.
as possible.
See, I totally was blindsided.
But
yeah, no, he didn't. He's just trying to.
No, because I'm looking at each of them, like uh-huh. each of the people uh-huh. in the foreground.
Lies.
I'm just like
lies.
No, I'm like,
lies.
Is it going to be the guy who's arguing with
his jock?
Dad?
Is it the
jock?
Yeah,
is
yeah.
it the jock's friend? Is it the girl? Is it the like the couple? And you realize no, it's the one person that you tried to look for and you couldn't find.
Yes,
Waldo. The one in the back.
Totally.
It was. I never caught it.
I was... I mean, literally, though, that was just... Oh,
but I did like when they went back and they re-showed you that panel. You're like, oh, there he is. Oh, there he is. Oh, there he is.
Now, I know there has been some mixed opinions on Cable and X-Force.
Garbage.
No.
It says it right in the title.
Garbage.
What did Cappy say?
Hopeless.
It's hopeless.
Hopeless.
I'm going to say right now...
That's what I've always said
no,
about him.
The newest hopeless. Issue redeems it. Because I get what they're doing. It's the A-Team. Cable
That's
and the A-Team. Cable is B.A. Not B.A. Baraka. Hannibal.
Yeah, no, I get that.
That's awesome. I love that.
No, I completely get it. Why is it still so shitty?
This last issue was hilarious. You had Dr. Nemesis and you had Forge. Building,
don't tell me. Don't
building
tell me. That fucking giant scorpion robot battle.
That was awesome. That was
Domino,
so funny.
Domino.
Domino had sex
singing,
with Colossus.
Yeah.
And she told him to meddle up.
Shots by LMFAO.
Oh, whatever.
This book is terrible.
No.
You know what this book needs to be? It needs to be Extreme X-Men. Because that's a good book. That's a funny
oh.
book. And, it,
and it's been canceled, right? Okay.
But no.
Exactly.
but you know what? It was it was fun while it lasted. I enjoyed myself reading that book. It wasn't high science. It wasn't like meant to be
fun.
Stellar. It was fun. There's nothing fun about Cable
and X-Force. I have to agree with you. I can't find anything good about Cable
really
and
X-Force. I really like this last issue redeemed everything that had been kind of crappy.
But I love Salvatore Rocca, his artwork, and I just can't stand this book.
I think it's a little awkward at times. I preferred him on Iron Man.
I still would like to know what the fuck did the Phoenix Force do to Colossus? We still don't know.
No, we don't.
Everybody else got mutated because
outfit.
Of the Phoenix.
He has that outfit now.
Well, yeah. Cable said I had to give you. It shuts off his power in one issue or something
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I don't know what it does. So, I like I said, this last issue redeemed it for me, so I'm excited. Mm,
great.
Mm.
But, you
so
know.
So you and six other people in the tri-state area.
As long as Cable has a place in the Marvel U, I don't care
oh,
where
great.
It is. Really.
We got Action Comics this week.
You know, it's people like you are the reason we get books like Avengers X-Sanction.
Oh, fuck that. I hated that book. That was terrible. But Jeff Loeb did do better with Nova, as we talked last week. Now, I do have to mention...
Oh, hold that thought.
Oh, what?
Guardians comes out in 2 weeks. Everyone needs to pick it up.
Yeah.
It's
Did you read fantastic. The Infinite, the one they just put out with the origin? Not the origin, but it's basically Drax and Peter Quill comes and recruits him to come back to the Guardians?
No.
This is a Marvel event, Infinite, their webcomic series, free on Comixology. And it's awesome. Like,
okay.
It's Oming who does powers with him.
Uh-huh.
And does the art. The art's a little dodgy. I'm not thrilled by it. But it's the Infinite style, so it's not like your traditional digital comic. It actually has, like, sort of a flow to it.
Yeah.
That is kind of cool. So it's like almost like a motion comic without as much motion.
Okay.
Makes sense. But, no, I'm excited about Guardians, actually. Very excited. More than I had been.
But you were saying?
Jean Grey is Apocalypse. What the...
There was like the two solicitations. One issue, she's making out with Al Wolverine. I'm like, oh, how cute. And the second is she's fucking Apocalypse. She takes the Apocalypse from Age of Apocalypse. She takes the Apocalypse power from Wolverine.
And is it like her doing like as a sacrifice kind of
but
thing?
But see, that's what I don't understand. Like that, no, she doesn't take it from Wolverine. Wolverine has already been stripped of it.
Stripped by who?
It's what happened in Age of Apocalypse. They finally beat it, and they're using it as like a weapon of mass destruction, just in case anything should happen.
Uh-huh.
Like the humans have the Apocalypse power contained.
Okay,
and I think that's how she gets it.
So she basically has the jaw thing and is Apocalypse. Okay.
Eh. So this is if you wipe me of the Phoenix Force, then I want to become Apocalypse. Am I that hungry for power?
No.
Am I that power hungry?
Well, you're always that cock hungry, so I assume.
Oh,
well,
must be. Well, the truth doesn't hurt me, honey.
That's true. All right, let's move on to some DC. Now, I was very interested in how Rot World was going to wind up.
Oh God.
We'll come back for the sad news. So, although Rot World's pretty sad too. So basically, they kill off Buddy Baker's son, the little guy with the mullet, Cliff. That's kind of fucked up. I mean, the family was so important to Buddy Baker as the Animal Man, and they take the family and they stab it in the heart with a death. And, like, I would have thought, well, maybe they'll kill Little Wing or whatever. But she's kind of supposed to be the next big, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so Rot World gets undone, all that's, you know, whatever. But Cliff, I think, actually, didn't he, like, kind of jump in there and sort of save his dad? So he died a hero's death. But, yeah, I was kind of sad. It was a little sad.
Yeah, because everything, I look at it this way. I have my issues with Rot World because it lasted far too long.
Yeah, it did.
I liked it the way it ended in both books because they each lost something.
Oh, yeah.
Alec Holland will never be human again.
Oh, well, let's talk about that, too. So, yeah. Swamp Thing, very interestingly, after he had always, Alan Moore did it, Swamp Thing was never, like, he wasn't human. He was the memory of the human in a plant body, basically. And then the New 52 and Brightest Day actually was a human again, brought back, and then as a plant sort of manifestation, but he was still human in underneath it all. Well, that's gone. So he's back to being a plant elemental, you know, warrior. And then he loses the love of his life because she takes on the mantle of the rot. That was sad. I mean, yeah, so there's a definite sense of loss in both of these books, which for a major event like Rot World was supposed to be, it's good that there are ramifications and loss from it. So it's not just status quo. Although I'm not very excited that Snyder's leaving Swamp Thing.
You know,
I might drop it. Just saying.
Give it a shot.
I'll give it at least an issue. I listen to the writer. I can't remember his name. I just, from what I'm seeing, from what he said in the interview and the solicits, I'm like, yeah, I don't have to do this. It's okay. But I'll try one issue. I promise you that. But Lemire is staying on Animal Man, so that's exciting.
I'm excited for Constantine.
I'm mixed about that because Lemire, Justice League Dark was Lemire, and it's been it's okay.
Oh, I like it. I haven't liked it a lot. The world totally turned me on. Thank God I skipped over the bad. And
it wasn't bad. It was just not great.
The first,
I started with, what was it? 13, I think, and then I went back. No, I was, I think
13. So you like the stuff they're doing now?
You started with zero.
With the world that's the world that's like anti-magic, and it's got, you like that?
I
like
it.
I just don't.
I like Zatanna's a badass.
Well, Zatanna's, I like Zatanna. I always love Zatanna. All reading her backwards is fun.
Well, they're giving an origin to the books of magic. They're giving an origin to magic in general.
Yeah. It's like midichlorians to me. I just don't, I don't. Listen, you and the sound. I'm serious. Is that what Damien sounds like when he does that?
I don't know.
Well, we're not going to know now because he's dead.
I don't care.
Shut your mouth.
The only Robin that I've actually kind of liked, and I don't care for Robins anyway. Like, I don't hate them. But the only Robin I actually cared about is Tim Drake because he's the gayest of all the Robins.
He really is the gayest Robin. You're right.
I really would hope they would have did a Superboy Tim Drake.
Slash Vic.
I mean, come on. I mean, that was... Yeah, he lost. Spoiler died. He didn't give a shit. This one happened. He didn't give a shit. Superboy dies. He has to clone him. He breaks down and cries every 5 minutes back before the reboot.
I've seen a lot of stuff on Queer Geek, which is an awesome Tumblr. If you check out queergeek.tumblr.com, they have a lot of Slash Vic with Connor and Tim.
Oh, I'm shocked. Well, yeah. Then they do like a splashing waterfall with them and Bunker and...
Ooh.
Yeah, and it was Speedos and the waterfall, and I was like, wow, this is even
gay. Is Lobdell gay?
Who the hell? Lobdell needs to stop writing.
Well,
please,
you
got
to get Bob Harris out of D.C. for that to happen. So I really was sad because I really enjoyed Damien's development, and I love Grant Morrison, of course. We all know this.
Yeah.
And I love what Batman Incorporated is doing. I'm kind of shocked that such a major event happened in this book that a lot of people wrote off as like sort of not continuity.
Well, they had to make it relevant.
Well, I don't. I think I think Morrison decided to do this on his own. I don't think they said,
I think this
hey, make
just,
it relevant.
I know? Think if you think if you really look at it, it's just a continuation of his Batman Incorporated. They just made him renumber it.
Oh yeah, really. No, of course it is.
That's all
of course
it was.
It is.
You know,
of course it is. But people were saying like, well, but such and such, he's not in continuity, and blah blah blah. And then to have this happen, and now all these issues as like the Requiem for Robin, which.
Did
Batman
you read
and Robin.
Batman, oh.
Gorgeous.
Oh, my God.
I need to actually go see if his art is for sale because some of those panels were just amazing.
I mean, how the art just told that story was
so beautiful. Yeah.
I felt for Alfred. I really felt for Bruce, who I can give a crappy-ass shit about. But I really felt that he actually was motivated. And then the letter.
Gosh.
That one panel with the letter.
Oh, the letter.
That just ripped out my heart.
Oh, God.
Don't say
and then,
a word, Oral.
And then the Batman issue, which was mostly about Harper Row, whatever.
Ugh.
It was still...
I like Harper.
I like her, too. I love her gay brother.
I really like how her dad calls her Harpo. And all I could think of, you told Harpo to beat me. Or Harpo, who this woman?
What is that? Are you, what?
Color Purple.
Oh, I haven't seen Color Purple.
You've never seen The Color Purple?
No.
Jesus really? Christ, have Listen. Some dignity.
What? Dignity? I admitted to it. I'm sorry. I just.
No, like Color Purple.
I gotta see Oprah squatting in a whatever field she does in that movie.
She really doesn't. Like,
there's a video clip. They play it on Talk Soup or The Soup all the time.
Well, yeah.
Or squatting in the woods or squatting in the field or something.
Yeah, kinda, but nobody really pays attention to that. But no, like, it's
that's as much as I've seen.
Oh,
sorry.
It is so much.
Yeah. I miss Black
it's
History
so
Month
much.
This year.
My God.
I just...
What?
How could you not watch The Color Purple?
I will watch it. I just haven't.
It's really
it got screwed
me.
Over in the Academy Awards.
Screwed over in my video collection.
Out of Africa.
Oh, is that what won that year?
A bunch
yeah.
of white people.
Well, that's ironic. That's kind of funny, actually.
You know, seriously, Out of Africa wins the Academy Award, but nobody gives a
Wait,
fuck about
because,
Out of
Meryl
Africa.
Meryl Streep was in it? Was it Meryl Streep mm-hmm. actress?
White people.
White people.
But
Meryl Streep,
I dare goddamn tee you, right now, there are like six, probably like 6 million people in this country watching The Color Purple.
Yeah.
Every day, someone is watching The Color Purple.
I believe that.
You know who's watching Out of Africa?
Nobody. My mom and dad had it on VHS. They didn't have Color Purple.
Ladies, can we focus? And
oh, all right, fine. This was a delightful diversion, but let's get back to the important thing, which is Damien's death.
Damien's death.
And Harper Row, the gay brother, Harpo, that's how we got there. Is Harper the next Robin?
I don't know. That's Aaron's little, but doesn't look like.
It's different.
I don't know. I don't know.
It's very much kind of like the Batman Return of the Dark Knight
Girl.
The redhead. Carrie.
Yeah.
Kind of like sort of a, that element where it's a reluctant, like, he doesn't want to take another Robin. He's like, screw this. I've just had one get killed. Why would I want to do this? But she's really insistent. Hacks the Wayne Tower to show resolve, or not, was it was resolve?
She
or?
Didn't hack it. She asked Bruce to do it.
Oh, I think she hacked it.
No, I mean, she found a way to trace him. Uh-huh. She can hack, but she didn't hack it.
Oh, well, she hacked it. Anyway. But I love the fact there's a gay brother. Any good gay character is always great. And it's an
original
character.
Shirtless Winchesters? Of course.
What?
That seems like, you know, I put some of your favorite episodes, apps of Supernatural on the computer. It's like, shirtless Winchesters? Of course.
Guess you never saw Supernatural.
No, too I didn't. Hot, I didn't.
Dead, fucking gorgeous boys. Oh.
Yum.
Mm-hmm. Yum. Red Robin.
And every episode we watch, me and my husband's like, they have to take a shower. They need to shower.
Are we a big fan of the end of the Geoff Johns era of Green Lantern?
Nope.
I don't know. When it gets good, I'll let you know.
But here's the thing. I am not the biggest Green Lantern fan. I read it. Mm-hmm. At times, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. This ending is not for me. Really? And it's not for us. It's for everyone who has followed Geoff Johns and his vision from beginning to end.
Well, not really, because I have. But the last episode of last issue of Green Lantern, the new artist, and they went. I loved the whole art concept that they did when they were in the Book of the Ring. Say the Book of Black. They're in the Book of Black.
Phantom Zone.
It's totally, the art is totally different.
Yeah, because they had really a different artist dark, and dark. And,
I like that. Yeah. And then when it was outside the book, it was normal.
Right.
So I like that back and forth, but it's, I don't know, it's just.
I do like, because somebody at one point predicted that Hal Jordan would be the greatest, blackest Black Lantern they've ever had.
It was the book.
No.
Was that the book?
It was the book.
And this is what's coming true. That's kind of cool. I love Geoff Johns doing those like teasers about what's to come, and then that's one of them. And now we're going to see it. That's kind of cool.
But, you know, it's the sacrifice.
Yeah.
It's the, I saw it in Harry Potter. I've seen it a billion times.
Yeah. Well, he's not
I've seen it on Golgotha. I'm just like.
Ooh, going Jesus on us there.
Yeah, I mean, it's like.
Is he going to pull a Bendis? Is he going to retcon bring back Hal Jordan?
Well, still hate the Wasp.
Do you?
No, that's what I put in.
Do you know they've released the solicitations for Green Lantern? I mean, they've basically spoiled this, like, rotten. So I won't say it because, again, this is solicitations. We shouldn't, you know, you should enjoy the experience unspoiled. It hasn't come out, but Hal Jordan will be just fine, I think.
I'm sure.
I think so. Sinestro, on the other hand, I don't know what's going on with that.
I love Sinestro.
Do you really?
Yeah, I really do.
Oh, my God. What was I reading the other day? Oh, there's a Justice League of America thing. It was like four issues. Sinestro is getting chased around. I actually gave this away last night in the raffle.
I just went to like a Three Stooges and I'm running. And look, Scooby-Doo running in and out of doors.
Oh my God, though.
Slam. Slam.
I had no idea how pathetic Sinestro used to be betrayed. He was such a little wuss and like, I should go to the Midwest. They have a place called Chicago or some bullshit, crazy, terrible dialogue. And I just had no idea.
He was terrible.
He was really.
Geoff Johns,
for what all the complaints we've had about how he just hasn't left or soon enough, he has made at least Sinestro a bit of a badass.
Oh, my God. Compared to what he was. I made fun of Sinestro and thought he was the lamest character until I read the Sinestro Corps War.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, oh, my God. Yeah. He's psychotic.
So the modern incarnation is nothing like the old school one, who is just a joke.
With the blue, with the weird
Oh,
collar.
The clownish, the sort of jester. Oh, God. I think DC otherwise is, you know, doing its thing. I don't think there's any. Action Comics hasn't come back out since the last time we got into it.
Thank God the finale. Thank God.
Because, you know, I'm dropping that like a bad habit as soon as Diggle.
I'm kind of excited for Diggle to try it. I like Diggle Snapshot, the little indie book he's doing. So I'm excited. I'm excited to get maybe a Superman I can understand.
Oh, boring.
Wonder Woman's still been great.
Yep.
Has it?
Aquaman's still cool. The whole Atlantis thing was cool.
Yeah, Atlantis. It ended fun. Well. I enjoyed it. I don't know what's next.
I'd like to see Mira join the Justice League.
She
to
might.
Take Arthur's place.
Yeah, that might be cool.
I think that would be badass.
I don't know. What else is coming?
Well, okay. The whole... Did we talk about this last episode? The Darkseid's daughter?
Oh, I don't think
no,
we did.
No, Darkseid's daughter.
No.
Oh, for
Bob. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do we think it's... Who do we think it is?
Big Barter.
Okay, I think we did talk about it.
Right, didn't we? I think we talked. I don't know if it was here or at
we
the
talked.
Store.
Well, see, what gets confusing for me is I'm also on Comic Bears, and I know we talked about it there, and there was a whole multi state covers, and we got into all that. But yeah, Vibe actually was pretty cool, and then the ending. Oof.
Yeah.
Big Barda. I love, I mean, you know me. I have Big Barda and Mr. Miracle figurines, like the tall ones they did like a couple years ago. I would be thrilled, especially if they did a cool re-envisioning of that outfit, but not too mm-hmm. different, but sort of like modern. Oh, I'd be excited. I like my tall women, so. I guess that's it. So MegaCon this weekend, again, we're successful, we'll maybe have a few little extra little things here. After
and
this.
Since I get to pee next to famous people, maybe I could pee next to Dean Cain.
No, God. Oh, my God. Pat is so excited about Dean Cain. I didn't realize that he had a thing for him, and I'm like, you know, Dean Cain's, or I think he found that Dean Cain was going to be there. So I know we'll be going to see Dean Cain at least.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
No, it's completely off the show.
Uh-huh.
No, we will talk about, you will find out what I need to talk about.
All right.
I just don't want to broadcast it to the world.
Are we
going to
go smoke some with, what's his name?
What?
Like last year. Remember, who was it? Went up for like.
Parker Lewis.
Oh my God. I just got high with Parker Lewis.
Parker Lewis. What? And I asked Oral, I was like, Oral, now would it be falling off the wagon if I got high with a celebrity?
And the answer was yes. I didn't smoke. I don't do drugs.
I didn't say you did. I said somebody we know.
Yes.
Or missed the opportunity. You missed the opportunity. That's what it was.
Yeah, I missed the opportunity.
We were offered.
And- yeah. But I, you know, not that I endorse doing drugs. I will never endorse doing drugs.
But
if an attractive celebrity offers you drugs, might want to take a second thought.
You wouldn't let me.
If Dean Cain asked me to snort coke off his ass, then there's a maybe.
Well,
no,
he's not Superman anymore.
I don't care. It's Dean Cain.
Well, he was known for Superman.
I'm kind of interested to see what he looks like now because it's been
Google it, honey.
Oh, is it bad?
No, it's not. Picture. It's not bad.
Oh, it's not great. Bad. He looks good with clothes.
I'd probably be more attracted to him though.
He's no Val Kilmer.
Oh, God. Oh, God. I haven't seen what he looks like. Oh, I got to Google some people. Bad. All right. On that note, since we don't have our usual show ender here.
Oh, is that why today has been such a pleasure?
Yeah, it's actually been nice.
It's why we're actually
boring tales in between.
We're under an hour and a half right now, so yeah.
Awesome.
Oh, should I tell a story that makes lefts and rights and nobody listens?
Wow. Under the bus.
Wow.
Seriously.
Wow.
Is that that bad?
I didn't think we so. We love the queue. And on that note.
Wait a minute. Who loves the queue? You may have this whole like dream fantasy of him being a nice person, but in reality, a heinous bitch is still a heinous bitch. And with that, everyone, flame off.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? This is Pat, your favorite talking bearskin rug. And even though the boys of Flame On recorded this episode just before MegaCon kicked off, I'm here to tell you that we had some wild and crazy adventures for that 3-day weekend. And the boys will be back next month to share all those stories with you. But in the meantime, here's where you get to be a part of the show. Go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Flame On Show, and leave us some comments telling us about your wild and crazy adventures at MegaCon. And who knows, maybe we'll use your story on the next episode. So until then,
thanks for listening to Flame On, a podcast made possible by Powder Milk Biscuits, the ones in the blue box, a comic shop, Nerdapalooza, and the generous support of Tops and Bottoms like you. If you want to be one of our sugar daddies, you can help out by telling a cute single friend about us, reviewing us on iTunes, or putting some dollars down our digital G-string in our monthly support drive. For more ridiculously entertaining and socially enlightening episodes of Flame On, as well as other fine programs, head on over to nerdyshow.com. You can subscribe to Flame On and all Nerdy Show Network podcasts via iTunes. And be sure to find us on Twitter at Flame On Podcast or Facebook on our Flame On fan page. And make sure to check out flameonshow.com for more nerdy queer in your ear.
You guys watch the goat videos? Where the goats...
No. No.
I love them. You don't like the goats?
Okay, yeah, this is what happens every time.
Oh.
Whenever there's a party going on at my house, parties always go down south whenever YouTube opens up, and then it becomes a Pandora's box where it's, hey, let's watch this video, and then it just becomes a nonstop stream of, hey, let's watch this video.
You're so right.